What is going on, Panthers Nation? Carolina Dad here, your host of the Two Growls, One Roar podcast, and I am back home from Las Vegas. Had a great time on the work trip. Vegas, as far as gambling and blackjack and poker and smoke and slots and casinos, sports betting, which sports betting is coming to North Carolina, in case you didn't know, and it's all in our face. Not really the place for me, but really cool city. And glad I got to experience it. But we are back home, safe and sound, ready to talk about the Panthers. And I got to say, thank y'all for tuning in. I know I did two kind of mini episodes. I don't know why, but I left my laptop here and I meant to bring it. So I was recording off of my phone early in the mornings there before the workday got started. And y'all tuned in. And I truly appreciate that. I went back and looked at the last episode, which was a live episode, and it had the most views that I've had so far. Lots of folks tuning in. I'll continue to do more live content as we get into this and I get it sorted out. If you're looking at the show today, I don't know why the background settings that I had changed. This is pretty similar to the one I had, but it's not exactly the design. But I got in here and I was like, I need to record, so we'll roll with the version that we have today. So here we go, folks. Welcome in, and it has been quite a busy week. So if you tuned in to any of the content that I posted on X, which I know I was kind of quiet on there watching things unfold because I just didn't really have time to get into anything between, 20, 30 meetings, however many it was at the conference, but good experience. And let's jump right in, folks. I've got a list of content to go through. You can see it right there. Quite a bit to talk about. I did this in one of my episodes, live episodes, and it really helped me out. Y'all would not believe how many times I come in here and I have just a general idea of what I want to talk about. That's most of the time. And just going through doing this so many times, I think this is getting close to the 100th episode. Like, I can just do it, which is great, but it's also beneficial when there's been a lot of things that have happened to have some notes, and sometimes I put them on my computer. Today I was like, let's just write them down. All right, free agency is upon us. As I record this on March 9th, the legal tampering period will officially begin on the 11th. New league year starts on March 13th. And there's already been a lot of movement, a lot of cuts that we're seeing at the safety position. Like, what's going on there? Running backs not getting tagged, running backs becoming free agents, a lot of big names. What are the Panthers going to do? Well, we've got a little bit of news flowing in, folks. I guess we'll start with the biggest news of all to this point, and that is Brian Burns. As expected, Brian Burns receives the franchise tag. Not a lot you can do there. $24 million against the cap right now. I've talked about this. I don't think he is going to play on a franchise tag this year. Whether it's us, whether it's traded with a new team, he's going to have a long-term contract to play. That's what I think. I'm not saying that anything against him as a person. Like, he played through last year on the fifth-year option, but I don't see that happening this year. So now all eyes on Burns. And it hurts having the tag because $24 million is a lot. What you hope to see is a long-term contract, 3, 4, 5 years, maybe 4 years, and you spread that money out. Spread that cap hit over the course of those years to give us some flexibility right now. Maybe bring that down to like 11, 12 million, 13 million for this year to give us some room to go after some talent. Because we're going to need some talent, folks. Going from 2-15, things are going to change. And Canales has talked about not having ties to this team, not having ties to these players, an emotional attachment, and that will help him in his decision-making. Speaking of decision-making, some things are already happening, at least the news that's coming through. One of them, Hayden Hurst. It's not been official, but it sounds like Hayden Hurst is not going to be back. It's unfortunate. It really is unfortunate because I had high expectations for him. He was the first NFL touchdown pass for Bryce Young. Things just didn't go as we expected. I remember watching the Cart talk that he was on way back in the summer during training camp. And I was like, man, this is a really good guy. you know, you look at the injury, the concussion, and I think maybe people wonder if he's even going to play again. I know he says he wants to play again, but he did have a significant injury there that put him out 8 games or so. Almost half the season he was out battling back. I know he wants to return. He'll likely look to join a team that already has an established tight end likely, so he can play that number two role. Yeah, wish him the best of luck, but it sounds like he is gone. Another big name, folks. Dante Jackson. And this one isn't surprising. I know I kind of had him in the yellow when I went through the roster breakdown. It really has to do with the money, because you're paying him like a top 15 corner, 15, 16 million. You can save a little bit if you go ahead and cut him. And we've got, with all these guys, we got these roster bonuses that are coming up, I think March 16th, like the end of next week. Roster bonuses that impact these decisions that are being made by the team right now. So Dante Jackson likely going to be cut or traded. And if you're a team, why trade if the rumor's already been established that he's going to be cut? Because then you can just wait. You can, you know, bring him in yourself and evaluate him. It does not leave a lot. You're talking about Boodle and J.C. Horn as your two active corners on the 53-man roster as it is today. I know we've got three guys that are out there on the practice squad for future reserve contracts, Lamar Jackson. I don't have the list in front of me right now, but those guys, we got a lot of work to do at the cornerback position, and that's going to have to be through free agency. I don't know if you bring back a Troy Hill. I don't know if you draft. You're going to have to figure out a way to get some depth there, especially want to see J.C. Horn succeed, but considering his track record hasn't been great. We've got a decision to make, like I've said, with J.C. Horn coming up in early May to decide if we are going to exercise that fifth-year option, which is around $12 million. To me, it's a no-brainer. Just do it. Just give him the money. Let him play. If it doesn't work out, both teams move on next year. If he does play really well and he shows significant signs of improvement as far as being on the field and being available, you look like it's just like a win-win. Floating down the line, Taylor Moten. Now, Taylor Moten has not been rumored to be cut or traded or anything right now, but we know $29 million is a lot of money. A whole lot of money for Taylor Moten. Taylor Moten likely going to need to be restructured, push a little bit. You know, maybe you get another 2-3 years. 3 years is stretching it. Maybe another year or two added so you can stretch out that cap hit. He maybe retires as a Panther. I mean, why not? He has been the most stable position on the offensive line over the last year. Really, you could probably say 2 years with where things have gone. And as I'm writing this down, give me a second, folks. Sorry, I dropped my pen. I was remembering something else I want to talk about. That's the benefit of doing this live and remembering things. So we'll keep our eyes there. Now, you could see something crazy, and I don't think we'll see it, but if you did cut him, you were talking about saving $16, $17 million if it's a post-1 designation. And this is the thing about these cuts. You do have the ability to designate like post-6-1, which is unique to me because the guy, I don't know enough right now. You know, I know a decent amount, but I don't know enough about how that impacts the player if you designate them post-6-1 and we're in March. Like, can they go ahead and negotiate with other teams? Can they actually move to another team as you wait for that post-6-1 cut? Can they sign or do they have to wait? I don't know. So something maybe I'll look into for the future. Brings up something else as I was talking about the offensive line, and that's Bradley Bozeman. Bozeman, who was nominated as our Walter Payton Man of the Year candidate for the Carolina Panthers. Panthers and Dave Canales in this offense are what it will look like. They like to play the wide zone, similar to what Reich did. Bozeman's a downhill blocker, power run. I don't know his future. He didn't look great last year. Did not look great at all. This entire line, what we've heard is that, you know, after the combine, is that the team is going to be looking for upgrades at every position, including guard, going probably pretty heavily in the market for a guard and free agency, as well as making an upgrade at the center position. And I don't know if you get someone in the draft, if available, or we start to look at, again, bringing someone as a free agent. So Bozeman on the hot seat. A lot of these guys are on the hot seat. Remember all those offensive linemen, the Zavalas, the Jensens, the Mays? Ricky Lee, all those guys are going to be on the hot seat heading into training camp, because when you go 2-15, there's not many benefits or upside to the guys that you have on the roster, and you do need a full rebuild and reset, which is what we're heading to right now. Now, the rest of the roster right now, it seems like Adam Thielen is going to be here next year, at least, you know, what I've seen reported, and Mike Kay did a nice article about that. It doesn't seem like he's going anywhere, at least as it is. Let's talk about two other guys. Amir Smith-Marset, Giovanni Ritchie. Let me pull up my notes here. So the Panthers will not tender restricted free agents Gio Ritchie, Giovanni Ritchie, or Amir Smith-Marset. This is per Jeremy Fowler of ESPN. They did say the team would like to bring back Amir Smith-Marset, who had some nice moments as a Panthers punt returner and even getting involved in the offense. And I'm all for this. Bring back Amir Smith-Marset, 2-3 year contract, $2 to $3 million per year. It's upside for both. He gets to continue to develop as a player and a playmaker in this offense as well as in the punt return game. And you need that type of specialty. So I'm all for bringing him back, and I hope it happens. I hope the Panthers can work something out. You also have Giovanni Ritchie, who is not being brought back, and that makes sense because we were carrying last year like five tight ends, and Canales does not like to use that. He's, you know, looking at the Tampa Bay offense, they had three tight ends. We have four on the roster, so yeah. That's your attrition, which also means Ian Thomas likely on the hot seat. I think you could only say right now that Tommy Trimble is probably the safest tight end on the roster right now. So you look at what could happen there with Ian Thomas. That's the latest and greatest scoop that we have on the Panthers roster today. Now, looking outside of the Panthers, some notable things happen, or at least one really big notable thing, and that was Mike Evans receiving a contract with Tampa Bay. And good for him. I hate it for us, but he deserves to be in Tampa Bay. He deserves to finish his career in Tampa Bay. I hate to see him two times a year because he always exposes this Carolina team no matter who's out there. He's a heck of a player. So he's not going to be coming in here in Carolina. We know about Higgins getting tagged, Pittman getting tagged. It's slim pickings, folks. The only upside to the franchise tags for these guys is, of course, we know Burns got the non-exclusive tag. Higgins, all the players that were tagged this year got non-exclusives, which means they can negotiate, but you have to give up two first-round picks. And I guess it's kind of a good segue. I didn't really plan on talking about it, but there's a lot of news and feelings and things being circulated about Brian Burns. He's only going to be worth a third-round pick. We're in a bad spot. We're in a tough situation right now. I mean, we know his value is more than that. We know he's likely worth at least a first and a second. But when you're in the position you are right now, when you don't have him locked up in a contract, you have him disgruntled. I mean, he might not show it, but I would say he's definitely going to be disgruntled. They're in a position, and you know about what you did not give up for him. Teams continued to call. You didn't give it up. So now we just sit back and watch. So if a team were to go after Brian Burns, we know they have to give up two first-round picks. And I think we're going to see that that's just not going to happen. I don't see him leaving through free agency. What I would likely see is, okay, he gets the franchise tag. We find a team that wants to take him on. If we don't work out a contract and he gets traded, you've got to trade him before the draft. After the draft, it really means nothing. If you're going to do it, you got to do it now or up until April. Get him off the roster. Get your compensation. Again, folks, I want him to be here. But it's just the reality of this situation and where things stand today. Now, as we talk about free agency, and there's going to be a lot of things happening over the next week, free agency moves fast. We've already seen some players getting contracts that were free agents. Again, that legal tampering period is going to open up. The future of Frankie Louvu is up in the air. Is he going to be back? Is he going to sign with the Cowboys or another team that's going to pay him a ton of money? That is likely a possibility right now. I know we want to bring him back. I just don't know that things are going to align the way we want them to. But as we talk about heading into free agency this year, I posted this on X, if you follow me, talking about dead money. Dead money is money that's already been paid to the player but counts against the cap this year. So we saw year over year, Christian McCaffrey, DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, those guys have hit pretty big numbers against the cap as we've made acquisitions and trades. This year, we've got about $9 million in dead cap, which honestly is pretty good considering where this team has been and decisions we've made in the past. You've got Justin Houston accounting for the most right now, $3.8 million. DJ Chark, $3.1 million. Sam Franklin, $1.2 million. Matt Corral, $400,000. And Brandon Smith, $300,000. I'm not worried about Matt Corral and Brandon Smith. They're both combined under $1 million. What does frustrate me is when we let go, we sign Justin Houston. He doesn't have an impact. We let him go and let him walk and sign with someone else and take on that dead cap money hit. What I'm also not a fan of is the DJ Chark and Sam Franklin. I want Sam Franklin back. I'm not a fan of these contracts. What you're seeing in these contracts, and even the Houston's a little different because we cut him in the middle of the season, but what we are seeing the Panthers do in these situations where you don't have a lot of cap money, what the team likes to do is sign you to a one-year contract, but then spread out the hit of that contract over 3 or 4 years. So the player can get paid their money, but we spread it out. We can't do that. We cannot do that going forward. We just are going to keep pushing the problem down the road with how much money that we're spending. We can't do it, folks. So this year, heading into free agency, I said I'd like two things. I'd like us to try to avoid two things. Signing players to one-year contracts with the cap hit spread out over several years, and signing veteran players on one-year contracts. We've got to go young. We've got to accept that the roster is what it is and prepare us for 2025 and 2026. It's hard to do. This is a league where you want to win today, win now, win yesterday, but you've got to take some time. Take some time and understand that the decisions you're making are going to impact the future, and you want to be able to pay Bryce Young. You want to be able to pay. I know the free agent market wasn't great at the wide receiver position this year, but you're going to want to be able to do those things for him moving forward. Now, let's talk about the draft. So the official draft order, round-by-round draft order, sorry, is out. It's been updated with the compensatory picks, and guess what? You believed it. The Carolina Panthers did not receive a single compensatory pick. Now, the NFL posts, and it says, if you're curious, compensatory free agents are determined by a formula based on salary, playing time, and postseason honors. The formula was developed in the NFL Management Council. Not every free agent lost or signed by a club is covered by the formula. Clubs that suffer a net loss of CFAs, which free agents, compensatory free agents, during the prior free agent signing period are eligible to receive a corresponding number of compensatory picks. So really what happened, well, I guess let's say, in addition, a club that lost the same number of CFAs that it gained, no net loss, may be eligible to receive a selection at the end of the seventh round. Really what this is saying is the Panthers, if you look back last year, did not lose anyone worth anything as far as free agents. And I talked about that. You look at the Deontay Foreman, Sam Darnold, those are really the bigger names that moved somewhere else and didn't have much of an impact. And then a lot of the other guys, the Shai Smiths, the Brandon Smiths, I went through, you know, last year looking at who was cut, Pat Elflein. Those guys didn't land anywhere. And you need those players to land somewhere so that you can get these compensatory picks. So we didn't get any. Not a surprise there, but the official draft order is now available. So I go back and look, and it impacts us a little bit. So in the first, our first pick in the second round is not impacted. So there's no picks added in the first or second round. It starts to impact the third round, which right now you have Jacksonville, Philadelphia, Los Angeles, and San Francisco that were granted picks in the third. Also does not impact our third round pick, which is first overall in the third round of pick 65. But you start sprinkling in some of these picks, And it does move some things down, like Jacksonville, Philadelphia, Rams. They're all moved to the end of that round. But originally, if you looked from the third round to the fourth round, it would have been 32 picks, you know, in the third round. Now there's four additional picks in front of the Panthers in the fourth round. And then you keep doing that as you move through the draft board. So, comp picks... Comms, let's look at one other thing, if I can find it. Oh, there's a really good write-up on NFL free agency in general. If you have questions, one of the things I learned is that you can carry over cap space from the previous season. So you learn something new every day. There's lots of other information out there if you want to search NFL communications. Next up, I posted this yesterday. Let's look at some important dates. I like to keep reminding folks of these dates as we move through this process. I'll find it. Here we go. Upcoming important dates. New league year begins March 13th. The annual league meeting in Orlando is the 24th through the 27th of March. That's when we may see some additional updates to rule changes and other proposals. Panthers can begin their offseason program April 1st. Deadline for restricted free agents to sign an offer sheet is the 19th of April. Draft 25th through the 27th of April. Deadline to exercise the fifth-year option is May 2nd, and then rookie minicamp will either be May 3rd through the 6th or 10th through the 13th. The Panthers will decide which weekend they want to use for that. Sprinkled in there are some other things like top 30 visit deadlines and what those are going to look like. And again, top 30 visits, each team can bring in prospects for top 30 visits and further evaluate them. Really good viewpoint for the fans to see who the team is thinking about, what position group. So we'll keep you updated with the top 30 visits as they come through. All right, folks, I think that is all I got for today. I'll be back in my normal groove to get this thing rolling, put out more content. Anyways, y'all have a good one. It's Carolina Dad.